This is the third Sunday after Easter. It is also Mother's Day, and so we wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. There will be the blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will not have benediction this evening. And a reminder that the obligation to fulfill your Easter duty, which is the receiving of Holy Communion, ends on Trinity Sunday, which is June 16th this year. And of course, one of the other church laws is to the requirement to go to confession if that's necessary before making the Easter duty. The feast for this week, today is the feast of Saints Nereus, Achilleus, Domitilla, and Pancras. We have to shake our head because we can't say anything about the saints, except to say St. Pancras is 14 years old, and he's so important that his church in Rome is the stational church for Low Sunday. Tomorrow is the feast of St. Robert Bellarmine, and of course it's the first of the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima. I'll also mention the patroness of first communicants. Her feast is tomorrow. She's a blessed, and that is Blessed Imelda. And if you don't know her story, we'll tell you very quickly that she was a very pious little girl somewhere in the 13th century, I believe, in Italy. And her parents put her into a convent school, so she was trained by these sisters. And she would even ask the sisters at that time they did not receive Holy Communion until they were 12 years old. And she would ask the sisters from age 9, how is it that you can receive Holy Communion and you receive God and you don't just go straight to heaven? And her desire to receive was so great that even before the age of 12, the sisters one day after Mass had just ended, and they saw the host over her head where she was kneeling. And so they went and got the priest. And so interesting enough, there are rubrics in the Missal about these types of things, what the priest is supposed to do. There's actually instructions. You know what that tells you? How often it happens. So the priest came and he was going to take the host, and then he was inspired that God is saying something here. He doesn't want to wait till she's 12. He wants to receive her now. And so the priest, listening to that inspiration, gave her Holy Communion. And she received. And as she used to ask the sisters, she went to heaven. She received our Lord, and he took her to heaven. So you can see why she's a great patroness for first communicants. There's another saint for that, but we won't say anything about him. Tuesday the 14th is the feast of St. Boniface. Wednesday the 15th, St. John Baptist de La Salle. Thursday, May 16th, is St. Ubaldus. And also St. Simon Stock, not on the universal calendar, but you know who that is. He is the one that the Blessed Virgin Mary gave the brown scapular to. She gave it to him. As I was seeing these things, I was thinking of this. We just had the First Communion last week. And, of course, what they receive is the scapular and the miraculous medal. And so this is like a renewal of First Communion to me, as we're talking about Blessed Imelda and St. Simon Stock. And then, of course, this Friday the 17th, St. Paschal Baylon. He is the patron saint of Eucharistic congresses. And then Saturday, St. Venantius. So we will have the blessing of articles. We will not have benediction, reminder about Easter duty, and we just did the feast days. And then we just congratulated all the mothers, but it's nice to just have a reflection first off. If your mother is not alive anymore, do not stop praying for her. And if you're able, to have Masses said for her. And maybe same thing going up the line to grandmothers and things like that. If we've been raised Catholic, if we've been converts, we still should still be praying for our parents, obviously. But if we were raised Catholic, then we have a tremendous debt to our mothers, not only for our natural lives, but for the supernatural lives. They have instilled the faith in us, which is going to get us to heaven. So we do not want to neglect them. We hope they're all in heaven right now. But it is a terrible thing. I'm just reflecting on speaking to some so-called, I don't even know if they call themselves sisters anymore, women religious, who actually said to me, "Oh, I don't have to pray for my mother." She actually said that to me. Of course, I told her, your obligation is to pray for your mother. You cannot presume she's in heaven. And it's a cruelty not to pray for her. But she had been so brainwashed, it was pointless. But so that's our first thing. But it's one day out of the year. It's great to spoil our mothers today, really. Because we don't even, until we get old enough, we don't really appreciate at all what they do for us. Because it's a given. It's the default position. They're always there. They're doing everything. Literally true. And so I'm sometimes amazed. I'm thinking of one particular woman. I don't know how these type of women do this. They have a full-time job. Oh, I'm sorry. That is their full-time job, being a mother, but they have another 8-hour-a-day job. And I see some of these people, and I just go, because they go home, and then they have to start taking care of the dinner. I just don't know how they can do it. God gives them strength. But this is the day for us to appreciate that. What these women do, these mothers do, and it's an on-the-job training. We can come somewhat prepared for it. We can, hopefully our parents have taught us, you know, these things that maybe we look down on. I don't. You know, how to cook, how to clean, how to take care of clothing, sewing, and things like that. You don't know what that is. We don't, you know, we think, oh, this is, you know, domestic work, and we don't like that or anything. Try and live your life without that. Try it. Now, the women here, the mothers here, probably is thinking, no problem. That's the difference. Because they're used to doing that. Just take the men, for example. Go ahead, try and take care of your own self. So just, today's the day, just remember, everything that we take for granted, that's what they do. Now, that's not to neglect the fathers, but they have their own day. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Peter's first epistle. "Beloved, I exhort you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from carnal desires which war against the soul. Behave yourselves honorably among the pagans, that whereas they slander you as evildoers, they may, through observing you, by reason of your good works, glorify God in the day of visitation. Be subject, therefore, to every human creature for God's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as sent through him for vengeance on evildoers and for the praise of the good. For such is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Live as free men, yet not using your freedom as a cloak for malice, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters in all fear, not only to the good and moderate, but also to the severe. This is indeed a grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 16, verses 16 to 22. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while, and you shall see me no longer, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Some of his disciples, therefore, said to one another, "What is this he says to us, 'A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, and I go to the Father'?" They kept saying, therefore, "What is this little while of which he speaks? We do not know what he is saying." But Jesus knew they wished to ask him, and he said to them, "You inquire about this among yourselves because I said, 'A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me.' Amen, amen, I say to you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman about to give birth has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has brought forth the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for her joy that a man is born into the world. And you therefore have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one shall take from you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. So we want to talk about where we are in the liturgical year. We are halfway through the season of Easter, amazingly, third Sunday. And so Holy Mother Church is starting to have us look ahead to its conclusion, but not before we continue the festivities of Easter. So we're going to talk about that a little bit and more examples about prayer. And also, to start with, we want to say something from the first Sunday in Lent. You may recall I brought up the rosary. The rosary, this is how great the prayer is. It is scriptural. It is liturgical, and it is contemplative. We cannot go through all of those definitions, but I'll tell you the practical result of it is, in this crisis that we're in the faith, where the liturgy has been attacked viciously and taken away from most, you are among the few who have it. How many? A billion Catholics? How many? Maybe a million? That's a sizable number, but compared to a billion, that's pretty small. Maybe a million people have the traditional Latin Mass. But what you see, and you know it yourself, probably from your own experience, what kept you going when you did not have the Mass, and what is keeping people going out there right now who do not have access to the graces you have through the Mass, by being present, what is it that's keeping them tied to the sacred liturgy? You know the answer. It's the rosary. And we want to promote, of course, tomorrow's Our Lady of Fatima. This month is dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary under her title of Queenship. The last day is the Feast of the Queenship. And when we think about Mother's Day, we cannot think of any mother greater than our Heavenly Mother. So today is a day, if we think of all the things, we just said it, anything that we take for granted in our family, that our mother just does, I forgot, our mother teaches us how to pray. All of those things we say about our natural mother, what about our supernatural mother? And we take it all for granted, by the way. We don't know we don't realize. Our Blessed Mother has a title, Mediatrix of All Graces. That is a title for what I just described for our own natural mother. Everything we have comes through her. She is not God. But God, in his own infinite wisdom, wants this to be the way. We can talk about all the reasons why. One, obviously, is to make up for Eve. We have a new Eve. So this is the debt we have to her. And this month is dedicated under her title of Queen. So if we're not saying our rosary every day, we don't have to say the 15 decades. Because she feeds us. We think of the first communicants. I'm thinking of the first communicants. During her month, they are fed to the Blessed Mother in her month. She is the one, all graces. She is the one that teaches us to pray. And what is her great prayer? The rosary. If we want to learn how to pray, pray the rosary. And to start with, just to learn how to say the Hail Mary. So we could go on for the whole sermon. But we won't. Because it's a word to the wise. If we're remembering our mothers today, do not forget the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, just about today's Mass in the time we have left. The introit, of course, is telling us to shout with joy about the Feast of Easter. You remember hearing at Easter Sunday about how our Lord arose and went first to his Blessed Mother and then to others. And he had a very busy day. We talked about that. But now we're halfway through his 40 days, because for 40 days he is with the apostles, not constantly, but at different times. And there are different current times where he comes and meets them. And we talked about the ones on Easter Sunday, but there was the one, and if you're paying attention to your missal, you've read about these already, where he appears on the shore one day when they're out fishing. And there's a whole story about how he makes breakfast for them. And what goes on there. There's a whole dialogue and everything. And then there is a mysterious time when it says, because he told them, and the angels told the women, they told the apostles, and they all gathered, went back. They were in Jerusalem. They went back up north to Galilee. And on a certain mountain, our Lord appeared to 500 of them and walked among them and reassured them that he was truly risen. And of course, he ate with them in the upper room and all these things. This is to reassure us. We heard about St. Thomas on Low Sunday. This is to reassure us all about the fact of the resurrection. None of you have this problem, but just in case anything ever comes to you, anyone ever talks to you, or anything you read or see, just remember, the enemy tries to undo that. We won't take real much time to worry about it, but we just say it to you. Don't ever let anything bother you about that. Just hold on immediately to your faith. All the refutations of these attacks are quite interesting and everything, but we're not going to take the time on that. And our Lord, by the way, as you know from Easter Sunday, did not bother to be seen by anyone else except the believers. He never spoke to any of these people again, except we mentioned St. Paul. So he's only speaking to us during these days. And and that Mass of Easter Tuesday, and I brought this in because this is the part we want to say about prayer. And the Holy Mother, the Church, wants us to remember this. Why do I say that? Because in the Alleluia verse, this is quoted for us from St. Luke. I will not read that one quote. I will just remind you of this. This is from Easter Sunday afternoon, evening. He joins these two disciples on the way to Emmaus. And he just walks with them. They do not recognize him. And he asks them, because they're so sad, what is wrong? Oh, we believed in Jesus of Nazareth, and he was killed. And today, some of our women were saying that he's risen. And so we thought he was going to save us, and we're just very sad. But he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things before entering into his glory? And beginning then with Moses and with the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things referring to himself. And as they drew near to the village which they were going, he acted as though he was going on, and they urged him, saying, Stay with us, for it is getting towards evening, and the day is now far spent. Those words are said every day during the Easter season, at Vespers. Stay with us. It's beginning to get dark, the evening. And he went in with them, and it came to pass, when he reclined at table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke the bread, and began handing it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. So he blessed the bread, and he broke it, and they remembered, those are the hands that fed us in the desert. That's the way he broke the bread and multiplied it. So they know him in the breaking of the bread. We know the resurrection in the breaking of the bread. The fraction at Mass, you can't see it, but you probably can hear it. There's a cracking of the host. And that mystical, sacramental death, unbloody death at the Mass, is shown by the separation of the species, and then by the uniting of them after the fraction, we have what? The resurrection. We know him in the breaking of the bread. And they said to each other, Was not our heart burning within us while he was speaking on the road and explaining to us the scriptures? That little phrase, do you see what was happening there? They are describing the effect of mental prayer. Was not our heart burning as he gave us the understanding of the scriptures about himself? The lifting of our mind and heart to God. The treasures of our Lord's Sacred Heart are there for all of us. We don't have the time. We have it here. We know there are four evangelists, but there's one person who is known as the fifth evangelist. He is the prophet Isaiah. We won't do it. Because you know the verses, really. We've been hearing them from St. Peter. And you know why? Because St. Peter was hearing them during these days from our Lord. Because when it says here that he began to explain to them what was said about him in Moses and the prophets, he's one of the key places he's talking about is chapter 53 of the prophet Isaiah. And you heard St. Peter writing it down in his epistle last week, all about the Good Shepherd. Though he was harshly treated, he submitted and opened not his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, or a sheep before the shearers, he was silent and opened not his mouth. He was cut off from the land of the living. He was looked and despised by all. He was buried with the evil ones, the criminals. He died with the criminals. He was not given honorable burial. He gave his life as an offering for sin. And as St. Peter, quoting this, said, and by his stripes we are healed. And then it says here, and he surrendered himself to death and was counted among the wicked, and he shall take away the sins of many and win pardon for them. And then he will see the light. This is all there. So this is just one thing our Lord is telling these people. And the impression is so great, that's what St. Peter is writing about. We are making a big mistake if we do not say our prayers and especially practice mental prayer. And by the way, the rosary. When I said contemplative prayer, I'm talking about mental prayer. Now, the contemplation part is where God starts to take over. We must make an effort in mental prayer. And we've told you so many times, just use the Mass. You know how to do it. Use the Mass. We come in, we first foot prayers, say we're sinners, we need your help. And then we go up and we start by listening to the scriptures, the epistle and the gospel. And then for the Mass of the Faithful, we try to lift our heart to the thoughts we've been given and hopefully join our heart with Christ in communion. Because the Mass is liturgical, it's vocal prayer. But you see the easy springboard into mental prayer. So you know how to, all Catholics know how to do this. It's ingrained in us. We just have to make sure you know. But you have to be doing this. And the rosary is a great tool in your own home to do it. And we just tell you again, especially I think for the mothers, because yes, it's the prayer to our Lord, obviously. It's about the mysteries of his life. But it is our Heavenly Mother teaching us how to pray, teaching us through her eyes, through her hands. So she starts by telling us what it was like for her to become a mother. She is invited by God through St. Gabriel. She who knew the scriptures, and we'll never know. In heaven, we'll find out something. What did they talk about from midnight to the first appearance of our Lord in the morning? What did he talk to his Blessed Mother about? What was it? But she who was the great prophetess of all the Old Testament, knew all these things and knew what it involved, is asked to be the Mother of God. And she responds, yes. That's that type of great magnanimity in the heart. That has to be in the heart of every mother. And we learn that, from just the first decade of the rosary. This is not to exclude everyone else, because we all have to respond to grace, okay? I'm just telling you one little example how to put this into practice. And we have to end now, except I do want to say this. Sorry, we didn't talk about the gospel enough. About this little while, and it's an interesting question. You know, just to say this, the apostles asked, wondered, what is this little while? Well, we're still wondering, because the scripture scholars tell us, of course, our Lord spoke just before his passion, so they say, the little while you will not see me is, of course, when he died, and it's a very short time, 40 hours or 36 hours. But then you shall see me, and that's going to be the resurrection, and then I go to the Father. So we see that. But the scripture scholars also say, and that's what the context here is, the church is using in this sense, that the little while is it's a bigger picture. We're looking at the little while that we have in our life on this earth. And we do not see him. We do see him in sacraments and things, that Holy Eucharist, but we do not see him that way in his physical appearance. And then we will see him, and that's when we go to heaven. So we talked about that. But the one thing I wanted to stress was this. So it's still mysterious. But you'll notice what our Lord did when he said, you are wondering among yourselves what I mean by this. You'll notice he doesn't tell, well, it's not recorded what he says about the little while. But you'll notice what he says. He describes what the little while is like. And he says, it is a time of sorrow. And he compares it to a mother giving birth. He says, this is what the little while is like. It's very sad. It's sorrowful because I'm not there with you. But it will suddenly be over. It will suddenly be over. And then your joy no one can take from you. That is consoling to me. And the living proof of it is, we think of, you all know, you don't know the answer, but you all know that there is a certain number of hairs on each of our heads. You don't know what that number is, but God does. He told us, I know the number of hairs on your head. That is how much he cares about each one of us. Every single one of us. We're not some big amalgamate group. And that has struck me when I think of the first communicants. From all eternity, he picked those. All of us have received our first communion, but last week, those two people picked them out. We think earlier of getting married. And you know, end of the thing, it's not ceremony, just custom, that the bride takes the flowers and the server puts them here, dedicating their lives to the Blessed Mother and her help. And everyone goes, and it's a great day. And when we sat in the back at the end of the day, those flowers were still there. And that made me realize God never forgets. Of course, His Blessed Mother never forgets. Knows every one of us. Those flowers were all of us. Each one of us. Never forgotten. Don't you forget. Anytime you feel the attacks of the enemy, and we talk about the devil and temptations and everything else, remember, God is right there with you. Never abandoning us, never abandoning you. All he wants you to do is turn to him. You do that, and you practice prayer, your lives, it's like you're living life in black and white now. If you do this, it becomes living color. May God bless you.